All right, welcome to part two of our series, Summer at Crosspoint. We're so glad to have you here today. Let me welcome all those that are joining us online. We're so glad to have you part of our worship experience today. Can everybody welcome all those that are online? That never gets old. I love the fact to know that we can be outside of these walls, not just within the four walls. I never wanted a church that was just behind four walls, us four no more. In fact, that's why we constructed our church. If you've ever been, those of you watching online, have ever been to our church, the front of our church actually opens up. We just want to break through the walls. And so we're glad that you're here outside of our walls and joining with us today. I want to jump right into this installment of this series today. I laid a foundation last week. You are going to be hearing some from some other speakers throughout this series. But I wanted to come back and just lay one more brick on the foundation today. And I believe, honestly, it's something very timely for our church. If you like a little, you know, I try to keep things sort of teachy, but today may be a little preachy. Anybody likes preachy, you might just get ready. We might have a little preachy. But I believe God's got something really specific to say to us and to the church. And I hope today that it will be a word of great encouragement. As we open this up, let me just sort of lay out the reason why we're going this direction in our summer series, and that is that we're focusing on this thing of faith, and with that, we're focusing on the realization that we are all on a journey, and that journey is a spiritual journey. The truth is we are actually, listen to this now, you may have heard this before, and this is so true. The truth is that we are actually spiritual beings having a temporary earthly experience in these temporary physical bodies. So, opposite of that, we are not earthly beings having this temporary spiritual experience. Actually, we are eternal beings, spiritual beings, and we need to be reminded of this truth. We are created by God, and when God created us, He scooped up a handful of earth dust and He breathed life into us, and the Bible says man became a living soul. He breathed into us the breath of life, and we now have the capacity to have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We are a unique part of creation. We have an eternal part of us, a spiritual part of us that will live forever somewhere. So we need to keep that in mind. We will live, that spiritual part of us will live on. The body is temporary. Now, it is important that we take care of the body because the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So these bodies are extremely important, and it's important that we take care of them. But we do realize that these bodies, nevertheless, are temporary, and they will not live forever. One day, we will die. Welcome to Crosspoint. Just here to encourage you today. I always try to look at it as I'm looking forward to the uptaker, not the undertaker. That's called, we believe in the Bible, the rapture. And I don't like to look at that as dying. I just like that in a moment we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Either way, these bodies that we're living in are not going to be, we're not going to carry around these bodies forever. Some of us are getting older, kind of glad for that because we get a new body, right? And so things are going to change. We get a new body. But, and let me also just add this on to that, and that's something just to keep in perspective, and that is the earth is temporary. And I believe that we are to take care of it. We're to till the ground. We're to take care of it. We're to be responsible with this earth that God made. But understand this, that one day, all this is going to burn. Right? Read the scripture. This earth is not going to continue on forever in its current form, but God's going to create a new earth. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And I said all that to say this, that sometimes there's little focus, there's much focus on our bodies that are temporary. There's much focus on the earth, which God's going to take care of that in His own time. And there, but there's little focus many times on the part of us that will last forever. What happens to us, listen to this, spiritually now will determine not only the kind of life or journey you will have now, but where you spend eternity. And if that if we understand that, then we need to really be focusing on this spiritual journey and this spiritual part of us that God has put within us that will live forever. And what determines that is how, listen to this, is how we use this gift called faith that we're going to be talking about this summer, to which we all have been given a measure of, and specifically in whom we put our faith in. And we talked about that last week. This thing of faith is a very, very, very valuable gift. We were created by God. We were created for relationship with God. But we know the story. Sin separated us from God. Sin came into the picture. We began to look to another source instead of God for our information. Got wrong, bad information. And it caused us to have a separation from God. But God, in His loving kindness, had a plan. Sent His Son Jesus, who took care of sin for us. And I love that scripture, that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus went to the cross, paid the sin price for us, so that we could be reconciled again back in relationship with God. And how is it then that we come into that relationship with God? Yes, it is through the gift that Jesus gave. Nothing for us to add or take away from that. It's all Jesus. But God gave us this thing called faith in order to receive that free gift. Ephesians, look with me, Ephesians, I hope you're taking notes here. You got a blank page here and take a bunch of notes. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." I would like to say that grace is a gift as well as faith is a gift. They're both gifts of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it is a free gift, this thing of grace, but it is appropriated to our life. Meaning we receive this thing of grace, this gift, by exercising the gift of faith. It's like if I were going to give somebody this bottle of water today, and I reach out to extend it to you, if you believe I'm really giving that to you, you're going to open your hand for me to put that in your hand. It's receiving that. And that is what really faith is. It's a free gift. I'm freely given this, right? But you have to exercise your faith in order to receive that. It's opening your hand. It's opening your heart. And so faith is extremely, extremely important and valuable in that is by the way that we are saved, that we come. That's the way that we determine where we spend eternity, is by this thing called faith. So faith is important for salvation, but faith is also very extremely important for the journey. Because in this life, there's going to be challenges to your faith. Can I get a witness? Can anybody say amen right there? Your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. The enemy will come. We talked about this last week, and will try to destroy your faith. Bible says he has an agenda, and that's to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the destruction part is ultimately he wants to destroy your faith. He just uses the other things that he's killing, right, and doing in your life. But his ultimate goal is to destroy your faith in God. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. They had another source to believe in that word instead of God's word. There's things that will challenge our faith. From the enemy to the world itself, to carnal nature, we call the flesh, temptations, the devil, the Bible. We have this song we sing of Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I already have come. Anybody remember that verse in that song of Amazing Grace? The Bible even categorizes that there's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All these things challenge and come against our faith. First John says that. Let me give that to you. First John chapter 2 says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And I've heard it said that that in the categories of sin, that you could categorize any sin that you could name in one of those three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then it says the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. As we talk about this journey, Paul described this journey as a race. We mentioned that last week, but he also referred to it as a fight. That you got to fight the good fight of faith. My father-in-law was always talking about you got to contend for the faith. There's things that are going to come against our faith, but God's given us this gift to exercise, to have faith in God. In 1 John chapter 5, I love this scripture. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, meaning, look, he demonstrated who he was. It was revealed who he was through water baptism, meaning that we are buried in him and raised to life in him. He demonstrated that for us. And by blood on the cross, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Look what it goes on to say. And we said that there's three things that we deal with: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But look what we have in our favor. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Today I want us to focus on the fact that as we run this race, as we fight this fight, as we face life's challenges with its twists and its turns and its highs and its lows, I want us to have a faith in this powerful truth. And this is how God wants us to travel on this spiritual journey. And I want us to understand this and apply this to our faith. And that is, as we travel this thing out, as we go throughout this journey, I want us to realize how God wants us to travel on this spiritual journey. And I'm going to give you two words. And I've titled this installment these two words today. And that is, not alone. Not alone. God doesn't want us to live this life alone. Again, let me mention those three things again. There is the lust of the flesh, there is the lust of the eyes, and then there is the pride of life. But to combat that, here's what God offers to us: the Father, the Word, who is the Son. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, right? And the Holy Spirit. I want us to see, as we as we travel this journey, what we have in our favor. That we are not traveling this thing by ourselves. We have God the Father, who knows where you are and what you're going through. Somebody needs to hear that today. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He hasn't missed a detail. He hasn't missed a moment. Sleeping or waking, he's got it all. And he loves you. Our Heavenly Father loves you. And then we have Jesus, who said he would be with us always. He would never leave us nor forsake us. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sent and described as the helper. In other words, what God was saying is, you do not have to walk this journey out alone. There is a road map that we have. I like to think of the Bible as a road map, and I like to think of the Holy Spirit as the compass. And he's going to guide us and direct us according to God's Word, and he's going to guide our life. He's going to guide our life. He's going to direct us. You know, when you listen to the radio a lot, you hear a lot of songs about heartbreak, especially if you listen to country music, you know, heartbreak, achy heart, you know, whatever. You hear a lot about relationships and needing each other and needing somebody, you know, Algero, I need somebody. I won't sing it. Okay. I mean, and we hear all this stuff about loneliness and being alone. I just think it's a condition that many times we deal with of being alone. Being alone is very, very, very difficult. I remember, I don't know if this fits or not, but I remember some years back, Kim and I were younger and took more chances, and we were on a cruise in the Bahamas, and we went out on a cruise ship, and you know, you have these things that you can sign up for, and so I signed up for parasailing. And the parasailing was not off the beach. It was actually a boat that took you out to a little floating dock out in the ocean, y'all. And these guys, they looked like they were a kind of a fly-by-night operation. I got to be honest with you. I wish I could have found the pictures. They're hidden somewhere deep in all of our, you know, pictures before they were digital. And I remember going up in that parasail, and I was up there. Now, you've seen pictures of parasailing where they're up there. Okay, I was way beyond that, because we actually took a cruise the next year, and they told us on the ship that since the year before, they have now regulated because these guys were getting way out of hand. Well, I was way out of hand and way out of sight, and I was way up there. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And I remember I was scared to death. I mean, my wife, I couldn't even see her. She was way down there. And I remember praying. I thought, I'm going to pray. And I said, oh, God. Well, when I said, oh, God, there wasn't a building. There wasn't a tree. There wasn't anything for my voice to bounce off of. It was just, I was so out there. It was like, it sounded so lonely. I said, I'll just pray silently, God. I'm too nervous. And I realized, you know, there's times when you feel that way. You just feel isolated and all alone. And I don't believe God intended life to be that way. I'll share this with you, a confession. Kim and I don't get out too much, but they have a radio station at her place of work, and she was listening to it, and they said, caller number 10 wins. Well, she called. She said, I'll call. She didn't know what she was calling for. And she won tickets. She was a 10th caller. She said, that's great. She didn't want to say, what did I win? She kind of just waited for them because she didn't even know. Well, we won tickets to Michael McDonald. Anybody see our post on Facebook? We went to Michael McDonald concert. And don't judge me, because when we got there, there was a group before Michael Donald. And I had just preached a message I titled, All Things Work Together for Good. This group sung my text from the previous Sunday. And I'm looking at Kim, I'm saying, I think it's going to be all right. I think we're going to be all right. All things work together for good to those who love God and those who call the Lord's purpose. And the guy actually said, we're going to have church tonight. And he talked about Jesus a little bit. I said, hey, this is all right. We feel, we're okay. So, but Michael McDonald got up and he began to sing. And one of the songs that he sung was On My Own. I don't know if y'all ever heard that. It has the lyrics, On My Own. On My Own. And in those lyrics, he says, this is not the way things were supposed to be. On my own. He's on his own. I got to thinking about that. And I want to change the lyrics of On My Own to Not Alone. Not alone. I don't know what you are going through today and what kind of difficulties you're facing and what challenges are before you on this journey. But I just want to encourage somebody today. I want to dedicate this to somebody today that feels like you're isolated and you're all alone and everything seems to be coming against you and it seems to be compounded and you feel overwhelmed. And I've heard that word a lot from a lot of people, the word overwhelmed. And see, you might think it's just you. As a pastor, I get the privilege and honor to have it, to be able to see things from a pastoral perspective. And I think God sometimes gives pastors certain discernment to see certain things, the things that are happening. And one person thinks it's just their case and their issue, but I have a list this long, and I see people going through sometimes similar things, the same thing, and I realize that there's something else going on. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want us to realize that there's many of us that the devil would like to pick off, and he comes at us and he attacks us. But I just want you to know, in this thing, this journey we're on, we do not do this thing alone. You are not alone. You are not without resources. Michael McDonald said, this is not the way things were supposed to be. Yeah, he's right. God never intended for you to be alone. Yet there are some people that can be in a crowded room and be all alone. But there's others that can be all alone by themselves and nobody near them, and they're not alone. Are you following me? And God has given us people. God intended us to do life with people, and we have a system here of small groups because we don't believe you should be doing life alone, and that's God's system for healing, and we've talked about that before. But let me just say this. God will use people, and there's a system God uses, and you should never do things alone, and you shouldn't have secrets that you don't have somebody you can confide in and share with and talk to and somebody that can support you and encourage you. But let me just say this. When people and life let you down, and when you feel abandoned, forsaken, and forgotten, there's one that will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He says, when your mother and your father forsake you, I'll be your mother and your father, I'll be your brother, and I'll be your sister. You are never alone. Somebody needs to hear that today. You are never alone. There is no one like our God. No one like our God. You're never alone. And he's given us a promise. Hebrews chapter 13, the scripture there says, let your conduct be without covetousness. So don't worry about everything that's going on. I need this and I need that. No. Be content with such things as you have. Why? For he himself has said, and this means more than everything, I will never leave you nor forsake you. David said this in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And David was one that was often very much overwhelmed. Many times he was greatly distressed. And yet David recognized where he had to put his faith. That he had to put his faith in the one that had his life in his hand. One time David said, my life is in your hands, O Lord. He had to put his trust in God, and he realized that he was not alone. Though all was against him, yet he knew the Lord was the strength of his life. Whom should he be afraid? Yet David was oftentimes overwhelmed. Kim had a Facebook friend this week that shared something on Facebook, and she read it to me crying as she was reading it, because we all have those times. We've had those times, even recently, of being overwhelmed. And I asked her to share this. I think she shared it this morning also, but I wanted to share it in our prayer, but I wanted to share it with you again. And here's what the post was. We tend to wait on other people to pick us up and build us up. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, the Bible tells us that David was greatly distressed. But listen to this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Get this. David didn't wait for someone else to lift him out of his despair. He picked himself up. He reminded himself of God's goodness. He reminded himself of God's faithfulness. He reminded himself of God's protection. And he reminded himself of God's provision. So whatever you're going through right now, pick yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. There was another Facebook friend of hers that wasn't even connected to this person who at the same time put a post and said, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I said, there's confirmation right there. I just want to encourage you today. Here's what I want to get out of this. And that is that he, God, is the source of your encouragement. And while God may use people to encourage you, realize this, but that God is your true only source of encouragement. He'll use people to point you to him, but he is the source of encouragement. God will use means, people, things, but the source. So I just think sometimes we're waiting on things to happen or people to move or somebody to do something in order that things will change in your life. Let me tell you, all that can happen and you can still be discouraged. You can have it all and still be lonely. You can have a lot of people around you and still be in a lonely place. But when you know that your source and your help of encouragement is God and you know He is with you, listen, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord, He's with me. Amen? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. And I just got to preach a little bit this morning, okay? He's the only one that can fill your soul. He's the only one that can satisfy your soul. He's the only one that can fulfill you. There was another guy in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah. He got so discouraged, he wanted to die. And his discouragement, listen to this, church, his discouragement was in the work of the Lord. And an angel had to come and minister to him. And then God had to come and speak to him. And let me just share that with you in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's just encourage you. God said to Elijah, said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Perhaps that's God's question to us if we find ourselves in a place of discouragement, feeling defeated, feeling overwhelmed. God's saying, "What are you doing here?" And God, and he began to say why. He began to state the reasons. "God, I'm the only one. It's just me. I'm all alone. I'm the only one that's serving you. Everybody else, you know, they've abandoned you. God, I'm the only one." And God had to remind him how many people that he had that was still serving him. And God had to remind him he still had work for him to do. And old Elijah thought he was going to die. And instead of dying, Elijah got taken up in a chariot. He's still alive today, y'all. He hasn't died yet, you know. And that's another story for another day, how that will end in Revelation. But listen, when we think it's the end, it's not. God wants to encourage us today. And what he discovered was the presence of God is all he needed. I'm going to give you a quote from Judah Smith, a wonderful pastor. He said this. He said, "Rest is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of Jesus." Does anybody need Jesus today? He is our only source of true rest. So when we talk about this faith journey, we need to recognize that we are not alone, but our faith rests in Him. Amen? He is the source of our rest. Elijah was discouraged, though. He was discouraged in the work of the Lord. Can I give you this scripture for those of you that may identify with that? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for in proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." One version says, "If we don't lose heart." And so he's saying, don't be weary in well-doing. So look, I want you to see this. There's some doing for us to do. And God said, don't be weary in that. And so what we have to do is we've got to apply some faith to our doing. Doesn't mean we stop doing. It means we apply some faith to our doing, that our faith is in God. We're not working alone. We're working with the Lord. The Bible describes that there were those that the Lord, it says the Lord worked with them as they went and preached, right? And signs following. So he says, don't be weary. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. So there's some doing for us to do. And I want to encourage us in our doing. Can I take a moment just to encourage us in our doing? That we are to apply faith to that process. And I want to break down some scripture. I got a few scriptures here. It's in James chapter 2. Just want to kind of just go through this. James chapter 2. James just is a wonderful book to study about faith and how this all works together. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith and grace and God's grace, right? But it produces works. Our faith produces works. And he says that faith without works is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. When I was younger, I heard this illustration I'm going to share with you before I go to that next verse there. Faith and works, how they work together. And it's a picture of a guy in a boat, and he's got two oars. Okay, we don't do it that way anymore, do we? We have kayaks. All right, but anyway, we got two oars, right? Rowboat, one-man rowboat. And one arm is the oar is faith, and the other one is works, right? And so I'm just going to have faith. So we row and on that one. And guess what happens? We go around in circles. We don't get anything, right? Okay, well, we need to add works. Okay, I'm just going to do work. So we work. And guess what? We still go around in circles. But if we put faith and works together, come on, everybody. We only believe what we believe enough to put into practice. If we really believe something, it moves our feet, right? So we pray, we trust God, we get on our knees, we believe. But when we believe, God's Spirit encourages us. You're not doing this in your own power. You're not doing this in your own strength. You're not by yourself. You're not doing this alone. Guess what has you doing? It has you standing up then and putting feet to your prayers. Amen? Does this work good together? All right, look at verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So that's not enough. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together, look at this, with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If he hadn't believed God, he wouldn't have, right? But then go ahead. And he was called the friend of God. And you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, right? So Christianity is not just a belief system, it's following the Lord. It's action. So for as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. I say that to encourage you in your work for the Lord, that we add faith, recognizing God is with us, to our works, so we're encouraged in the work of the Lord. Anybody receive that today? Is that all right? Here's what I realize, and let me just take just a brief moment just to pastor this morning. I realize, again, our work is not a carnal, mechanical work of just doing things. Our work is a spiritual work because eternity is at stake. Souls lie in the balance. What we're doing matters. Souls are at stake. God has given us opportunities. And I'm believing as this semester, the tragedy that ended this semester at UNC Charlotte will open up opportunities at the beginning of the semester in the fall for us to be able to minister to students. In fact, my son just this week received a message from UNC Charlotte, and they had a picture that we had posted of the banner at the front of our church, "We love you, Niner Nation." And they wanted permission to use that because they were putting together an article and a post about the support and how the community and all have come unified and are together. Come on. And they wanted our permission to do that. Listen, and they were tagging some video with that as well. I want to just tell you, there are opportunities before us. And I'm just one that believes that when I get before God, I don't want God to say to me, Theron, I gave you a great church and great people and great leaders and wonderful people, and I gave you a great location right across from the street from the university and a wonderful community and a growing city. What did you do with it? Right? With the whole world at your front door. God has given us opportunities, But here's what I also recognize, and I don't mean to act like all that in a bag of chips, but I've been doing this a long time. And I recognize some things that happens at times. And I sense sometimes that there are things, and the Lord impressed upon me this week. There are two levels that we operate in. Two levels that are going on. One is seen and one is unseen. And can I tell you where our battle is and where our warfare is? It's the unseen. It's not what we see, it's what we don't see. And I believe, honestly, the Lord has at times given me discernment in my spirit that I know when the enemy is at work, and the devil gets into details to undermine the work that God has called us to do. And I'm not saying that he hasn't been against us all along, but I want to just mark something to you that I know as a pastor, that when we begin to make a difference in this campus and that big event happened that night, immediately the devil began to amp up. Come on, begin to amp up some things and begin to release more attacks on us on many multiple levels. And I know you might say, well, that's kind of really super spiritual, Pastor. I just got this one issue. I'm telling you from a perspective as a pastor, I know when things are happening and the devil's at work. And I just want to encourage you this, though. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, it says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So and that's not to scare you. What I want us to recognize is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm believing with you today that our God, listen, he is greater. Let me give you this scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children. You're not alone. We're not alone. We're not little orphans, right? But you are of God, and he has overcome them. And then he says, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You and I are not alone. We are not alone. So what do we need to do? Let me give you a few points here. First of all, in order to be victorious, the Bible says that this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Number one, write this down. I need to put my faith in God. Recognizing, listen to this, God is for me. I'm not alone. God is with me. That's the first thing we emphasize around here. We want people to know God, right? So we're gonna put our faith in God. We know that he's the source, that he's our help, that he's with us, and he's greater, right? Faith is in God. Number two, receive his healing. Allow him to heal our heart or heal our past and deal with the issues that we've got. And I'm more convinced than ever. The devil just puts issues on us to put a ditch in our path. You've heard it said over and over, but it is so true. So true. And we don't recognize what he's really trying to do. Can I just say, as he tries to do things to us, again, your husband, your wife is not your problem. Your kids are not your problem. Your boss is not your problem. I know you think he is. Your coworkers are not your problem. The problem is there is an enemy that's working against you. And listen to this, sometimes he will influence good people in bad ways or ways that are not lined up with God's perfect will. Okay? So I want us to be mindful and pray that God would give us a discerning spirit and that God will come in and he'll heal our heart and get us on the right path. And he does that with others. So again, we're not alone. We have others that God has given us to help us in this journey. And then through that, we do that. What? We find freedom, right? That's the second thing we do. Third, I want to follow God's plan for my life. I want to follow God's plan. I want to continue to do what God's called me to do. So when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Bible says the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So, Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. So when the enemy comes in, I'm not leaning back and stepping back and stepping away and stepping out. And by the way, when you do that, you start stepping out of one thing and another thing and another thing. What happens is, before you know it, you're isolated and you're off and everything begins to crumble. Can I encourage you, and I'm just saying this as lovingly as I can, as a pastor, what I have learned works, you step forward. You go forward in faith. And there's been times in my life, oh, trust me, you guys need to live in my house a while, okay? You need to come and hear our cries and our tears and our anguish and our, come on, we get tore up just like you get tore up. And there's times when you feel like giving up and you just want to take the sheet and pull it over your head and say goodnight. All right? Come on. Come on, y'all don't sit there all super spiritual like you don't know what I'm talking about. There's those times. What I have learned is there's some that God, by the gift of faith, will rise up in me and I'll say, oh, no, devil. Oh, no, devil. You're not winning. You're defeated. And I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he is my help. He is my source. I'm not in my own power. I'm not working in my own power. Come on. And go forward. In fact, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So we're not drawing back, we're drawing to God. Amen? We're moving, we're stepping up. We're going all in for God. I believe that's the way we have victory. Amen? Come on, everybody. Number four, live a fulfilling life. And we know how that happens by discovering, we discover our purpose. We're following God's plan. We're discovering our purpose. So we realize God's not alone. God's working with us. But number four, we live a fulfilling life by making a difference. And how do we do that? We don't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also do it with other people of faith. Karen beautifully talked about the unity of faith in our huddle this morning. We do it in unity of faith going forward. And together we lock arms like Aaron and Hur with Moses. Come on. And we believe God's going to do great things. And we have our trust in God. And through the power of his Holy Spirit. Come on. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Come on. We can't lose for winning. Come on. We can't drown for swimming. You know what I'm saying? Come on. God's with us. And God's promised us the victory. So I want to make some declarations as I close this out. And you can write these down if you like. I am not alone. I am not alone. If the devil tells you you're in this all by yourself and nobody cares and nobody loves you and you feel like everything happens is against you. You ever feel like when you pray the opposite happens? I've heard my wife say that recently. Let me tell you, God's with you. God hears every prayer. When it doesn't seem like it, when it doesn't feel like it, when it doesn't look like it, God still hears every prayer. He's with you. I'm not alone. I'm not alone, and I want to declare this. God is with me. God is with me. Let me give another declaration. I need God. I need God. Because I can't do it alone. But let me give you another amazing thing. God needs me. And I said, wait a minute. God needs me? God doesn't need me. Put it to you this way. God chooses to need you. I guess we could say, yeah, God doesn't need anything. But God chooses to need you somehow. That's the miracle of his love. He chooses to use you and I in this process of winning his lost children, in this work of the Lord, this work of eternity, of making sure people's journey ends up in the eternity of heaven. So, we give God our faith, but he gives faith to us. And he puts his faith in us. So I'm going to declare this. I will have faith in God. I will have faith in God. And here's an amazing truth. God has faith in me. I'm not sure about that. God has faith in me? Yeah, he does. He had so much faith that he sent his son believing that you would accept him. He laid down his life on the cross, hoping that by faith you would accept him. Before you ever made the decision, he made the decision in faith to lay his life down for you. That's amazing. Here's another thing I wanted to declare. God made his move. Here's the next one. It's my move. What's our next move? For some of us, it may be to invite God to say, I invite God to come into my life. I accept Him as the Lord of my life. I invite Him so I won't be alone. And you say, well, I know all this, Pastor. I know that, you know, this is the truth. God's with us. He's God Emmanuel. But why is it that sometimes when we're dealing with a problem or an issue, or we've got this one compartment in our life, one room of our house, that we walk into that alone? Sometimes we decide, God, you can be in this room and you can be in this area of my life, but this area, Lord, I think I can handle this one by myself. Can I tell you, we don't do too good of a job. I want to encourage us today to invite Him into every area of our life and not be alone in any area of our life, and allow the Lord to be who He is. Because when He comes with His power and His presence, everything changes. Everything changes. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank you for your word today. You delivered my heart, and I feel like what you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that if the enemy distorts any of this or causes us, Lord, to be have some kind of thing that would prevent your work from happening in our life, God, I pray that that would be torn down in the name of Jesus. Open our hearts, God. Lord, we pray that the walls be torn down. Give us a heart that's able to hear and to receive and to invite you in. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you know that you need to surrender, that's really what salvation is. It's surrender, surrendering every area of your life. Maybe it's some particular thing that you need to surrender. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. For some, it may be a surrender and giving God control and experiencing salvation for the first time, or maybe coming back, or maybe it's just a surrender of an area of your life that's really not completely His. It was, but you've taken it back. I want to lead you in that kind of prayer. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, when you pray, would you include me in that prayer? Would you just quickly slip up a hand? You can put it right back down. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good job, guys. All right, yes, thank you. Yes. If you're watching online, would you join us as well? Just right where you are. Would you just simply pray these words? Just mean them. I want to just lead everybody here in this prayer, and I'd like everybody to pray this out loud for support. Can you pray this with me? Say, thank you, God, for loving me, for coming to me, for bringing me into your family by offering your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins so that I could experience life and freedom. By faith, I accept what you did for me. And by faith, I ask you to come in, and I receive you now. I open my heart. Come in now and make me brand new. Change me forever. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. I cannot do this alone, but today I declare, you are my God. You are with me. You are for me, and I love you, and I accept you, and I'll follow you now. Come on, say this. I give you my life. God, thank you for every person who prayed the prayer today of surrender in every area of our life. Lord, anything that's held back, Lord, sins of omission or commission, God, we surrender it all to you, God. We ask you to be the Lord of all. God, we surrender everything to you. Now, Lord, may your Spirit indwell us. May the Spirit of encouragement, Lord, come and, oh God, gird us up, Lord, in you today. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would encourage us in our labor, in our work, in our doing, God. Lord, that we look to you, God. Our faith rests in you, Lord. Lord, guide our steps. God, let them be fruitful and effective for your kingdom and for the cause of souls. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for victory in Jesus' mighty name. The one who says, Lord, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.